Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Anna Mateo in Washington. Money. There are several sayings that warn about money. Money is the root of all evil. Money can't buy you happiness. But there is another one. Money makes the world go round. Money may not be the answer to happiness, but it certainly helps to have some. Later in the show, you will learn words to help you save money. But first, what if you could close your eyes and simply think your way to being rich? That is just what a famous book from the 1930s promised could be done. And now, there is a comic book version. Here for more on that story is June Sims. While you listen, I'm going to think myself rich. I am rich. I am rich. I'm super rich. I am rolling in money.
Can you think your way to wealth and success? Napoleon Hill believed that if you think the right thoughts, you can. In 1937, after many years of researching financial success and observing people who had become rich, he published the book, Think and Grow Rich. Although it was published in the middle of the Great Depression, it was an immediate success. It is one of the most popular nonfiction books ever written. Forbes magazine says it has sold 70 million copies since it first appeared and continues to sell copies today. Napoleon Hill wrote at least 10 other books about success before his death in 1970. But none of them came close to selling as many copies as Think and Grow Rich. Smarter Comics has released an illustrated version of the book. Franco Arda is the company's founder and publisher. He used to work as an investment banker. He started the company 3 years ago with his own money. He wanted to create picture books that increase understanding. His versions provide much of the information that is in full-length books, but in an easy-to-understand picture or comic form. Mr. Arda says readers will understand and remember more about gaining success if they read the comic book version of Think and Grow Rich.
Because it's illustrated, it's a comic book style. One, it's easier to read, and two, it's also easier to remember.
Mr. Arda says he first read Think and Grow Rich when he was a teenager. He credits the book for much of his financial success. He says it taught him to change the way he thinks about money and success.
We have to start with your brain first, to subconsciously program yourself towards riches that you can imagine or that you think money, and obviously that you create a plan afterwards.
Mr. Arda says Napoleon Hill found that you must write down what you want to achieve, how and when you want to achieve it, and what you are willing to sacrifice for it. Napoleon Hill said you must read that statement out loud every morning when you wake up and every evening before you go to sleep. Smarter Comics says Think and Grow Rich proves that wealth is a lifelong pursuit, achieved by believing in the value of personal ideas. It says anyone can achieve their dreams by refusing to be stopped by temporary problems. I'm June Sims.
And I'm Anna Mateo. You are listening to As It Is Saturday. We just heard a report on how to think your way to more money. I tried, and so far nothing has happened. But there is another way. Next, we hear about ways to save money. Mario Ritter has some idioms and words that are all about saving you money.
Are you a saver or a spender? A penny saved is a penny earned. This old saying calls attention to the wisdom of saving money. Putting money away for a rainy day is another way to talk about saving for the future. People who hate to spend money are known as tightwads, while those who like to get the most value for their money are called thrifty. A thrifty person is different from a spendthrift. A spendthrift is someone who spends wastefully. People like that are often said to spend money like a drunken sailor, or like there's no tomorrow. In the United States, people who want to start a savings account have different choices of where to put their money. These include banks and credit unions. Credit unions are cooperatives for people who have some kind of connection. For example, the members might work for a university or a government agency. Most credit unions are non-profit organizations. Credit unions, banks, and other financial institutions pay interest on savings accounts, but the interest rates are low. Certificates of deposit pay higher returns. With a certificate of deposit, or CD, a person agrees not to withdraw the money for a certain period of time. This term could be anywhere from a few months to several years. Longer terms and larger amounts pay higher interest. People can withdraw their money early, but they have to pay a penalty. Another way to save is through a money market fund. This is a kind of mutual fund. Mutual funds invest money from many people. The money is sometimes placed in short-term government securities. Money market funds, however, may not be federally guaranteed like other kinds of savings. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation guarantees savings up to $250,000. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. How are you with money? Do you spend like there's no tomorrow? Or do you believe in saving for a rainy day? Use our comment section to practice some of the idioms you heard in the show. And join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. Pro-Russian rebels shot down two Ukrainian helicopters in eastern Ukraine on Friday. Two airmen were killed. Ukraine's defense ministry said a third helicopter was also hit. In a statement, Ukraine's government reported that missiles brought down the two helicopters. It said the firing of missiles was evidence that Russian forces were present in the city. Russia denies its troops are on Ukrainian soil. News of the attacks came as Ukrainian government forces strengthened their positions around the rebel-held city of Slovyansk. Ukrainian military vehicles moved to neighborhoods just outside Slovyansk, but rebels still control most of the city of 130,000 people. Reporters there heard shooting and saw one helicopter opening fire before sunrise. 12 hours later, the city was largely quiet with armed separatists in control. About 100 people gathered outside government buildings. They appealed to Russian President Vladimir Putin to send troops to help them. The Russian military has tens of thousands of troops across the border. Russia had earlier claimed the right to invade, if needed, to protect Russian speakers in eastern Ukraine. On Friday, Russian officials accused the Ukrainian government of launching a criminal assault that wrecked hopes of peace. A spokesman for President Putin accused Ukrainian forces of firing on civilians from the air in what he called a punitive operation. President Putin demanded on Thursday that Ukraine withdraw all military personnel from territory along the Russian border. He made the comment to German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who was on her way to Washington. On Friday, the German leader met with President Barack Obama at the White House. The two leaders expressed hope for a diplomatic resolution to the crisis. The president warned of expanding sanctions on Mr. Putin and others if Russia continued to fuel the unrest in Ukraine. The European Union says it is watching events in eastern Ukraine with growing concern. But Ukraine is not a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and Western leaders have made clear that they will not defend Ukraine. Separatists and Russian intervention are not the only threats to Ukraine. Many Ukrainians think their country is in crisis. A new study found that nearly 80% of those questioned in eastern Ukraine think the government is unlawful. Rakesh Sharma was the director of the survey.
In Kharkiv and Donetsk, in those focus groups, what we heard were people saying primarily that this government does not represent us. We do not feel like our interests are being represented by this government, and that there was a lot of dissatisfaction with the direction of the country and the way it was headed.
A Washington-based pro-democracy group organized the survey. The group receives most of its money from the United Nations and the United States Agency for International Development. Pro-Russian separatists are seeking a vote on May 11th on whether to break with Ukraine's government. Local officials in Crimea held a similar vote earlier this year. Russia took control of the Crimean Peninsula shortly after the vote. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember.
Now, the VOA Special English Program, American Stories. story today is called A Piece of Red Calico. It was written by Frank Stockton. Stockton was a popular writer in the second half of the 19th century. He wrote a large number of stories for children and other stories for adults. His most famous work, The Lady or the Tiger, can also be heard in VOA Special English. Now, here is Steve Ember with Frank Stockton's A Piece of Red Calico.
I was going to town one morning when my wife gave me a little piece of red calico cloth. She asked me if I would have time during the day to buy her 2.5 meters of calico cloth like that. I told her that it would be no trouble at all. Putting the piece of brightly colored cloth in my pocket, I took the train to the city. During the day, I stopped in at a large store. I saw a man walking the floor and asked him where I could see some red calico. "This way, sir," and he led me up the store. "Miss Stone," said he to a young woman, "show this gentleman some red calico." "What kind of red do you want?" asked Miss Stone. I showed her the little piece of calico cloth that my wife had given me. She looked at it and gave it back to me. Then she took down a great roll of cloth and spread it out on the counter. "Why, that isn't the right kind of red," said I. "No, not exactly," said she, "but it looks nicer than your sample." "That may be," said I, "but you see, I want it to look like this piece. There is something already made of this kind of calico which needs to be enlarged or fixed or something. I want some calico of the same shade." The girl made no answer but took down another roll of cloth. "That's the right color," said she. "Yes," I answered, "but it is striped." "Stripes are worn more than anything else in calicos," said she. "Yes, but this isn't to be worn," I said. "It's for a piece of furniture, I think. At any rate, I want perfectly plain material to go with something already in use." "Well, I don't think you can find it perfectly plain unless you get turkey red," she said. "What is turkey red?" I asked. "Turkey red is perfectly plain in calicos," she answered. "Well, let me see some." "We haven't any turkey red calico left," she said, "but we have some very nice plain calicos in other colors." "I don't want any other color. I want cloth to go with this." "It's hard to find low-cost calico like that," she said, and so I left her. I next went into a store a few doors up the street. I gave a salesman my sample and asked, "Have you any calico like this?" "Yes, sir," said he, "third counter to the right." I went to the third counter to the right. A man there looked at my sample on both sides. Then he said, "We haven't any of this." "I was told you had," said I. "We had it, but we're out of it now. You'll get that from an upholsterer, someone who recovers furniture." I went across the street to the upholsterer's store. "Have you anything like this?" I asked.
"No," said the man, "we haven't. Is it for furniture?"
"Yes," I answered.
"Then turkey red is what you want."
"Is turkey red just like this?" I asked.
"No," said he, but it's much better. That makes no difference to me, I said. I want something just like this. But they don't use that for furniture, he said. I should think people could use anything they wanted for furniture, I said, somewhat sharply. They can, but they don't, he said calmly. They don't use red like that. They use turkey red. I said no more, but left. The next place I visited was a very large store. Of the first salesman I saw, I asked if they sold red calico like my sample. You'll find that on the second floor, said he. I went up the steps. There, I asked a man, where will I find red calico?
In the far room to the left, over there. And he pointed to a distant corner.
I walked through the crowds of purchasers and salespeople and around the counters and tables filled with goods to the far room to the left. When I got there, I asked for red calico.
The second counter down this side, said the man.
I went there and produced my sample.
Calicos are downstairs, said the man.
They told me they were up here, I said.
Not these plain goods. You'll find them downstairs at the back of the store over on that side.
I went downstairs to the back of the store. Where will I find red calico like this? I asked.
Next counter but one, said the man, walking with me in the direction he pointed out. Dunn, show this man red calicos.
Mr. Dunn took my sample and looked at it.
We haven't this shade in that quality of goods, he said.
Well, do you have it in any quality of goods? I asked.
Yes, we've got it finer.
And he took down a piece of calico and unrolled a meter or two of it on the counter.
That's not this shade, I said.
No, said he. It is finer, and the color is better.
I want it to match this, I said.
I thought you didn't care about the match, said the salesman. You said you didn't care for the quality of the goods. You know, you can't match goods unless you take into consideration quality and color both. If you want that quality of goods in red, you ought to get turkey red.
I did not think it necessary to answer this comment, but said, "Then you've got nothing like this."
No, sir, but perhaps they may have it in the upholstery department on the sixth floor.
So I got in the elevator and went to the sixth floor.
Have you any red material like this? I said to a young man.
Red material? Upholstery department, other end of this floor.
I went to the other end of the floor.
I want some red calico, I said to a man.
Furniture goods? He asked.
Yes, said I.
Fourth counter to the left.
I went to the fourth counter to the left and showed my sample to a salesman.
He looked at it and said, You'll get this down on the first floor, calico department.
I went down in the elevator and out on the street. I was completely sick of red calico, but I decided to make one more effort. My wife had bought her red calico not long before, and there must be some to be had somewhere. I should have asked her where she got it, but I thought a simple little thing like that could be bought anywhere. I went into another large store. As I entered the door, a sudden nervousness took hold of me. I just could not take out that piece of red calico again. If I had had any other kind of cloth,
I think I would have asked them if they could match that. But I stepped up to a young woman and presented my sample with the usual question. "Back room, counter on the left," she said. I went there. "Have you any red calico like this?" I asked the saleswoman. "No, sir," she said, "but we have it in turkey red." "Turkey red again!" I surrendered. "All right," I said, "give me turkey red." "How much, sir?" she asked. "I don't know, say 15 meters. She looked at me strangely, but measured off 15 meters of turkey red calico. Then she touched the counter and called out, "Cash." A young girl with yellow hair appeared. The woman wrote the number of meters, the name of the goods, her own number, the price, and the amount of money I gave her on a piece of paper. She probably wrote some other things, like the color of my eyes and the direction and speed of the wind. She then copied all this into a little book. Then she gave the piece of paper, the money, and the turkey red cloth to the yellow-haired girl. This girl copied the information into a little book she carried. Then she went away with the calico, the paper, and the money. After a very long time, the girl came back, bringing the money I was owed and the package of turkey red calico. I returned to my office, but had time for very little work the rest of the day. When I reached home, I gave the package of calico to my wife. She opened it and declared, "Why, this doesn't match the piece I gave you." "Match it," I cried. "Oh no, it doesn't match it. You didn't want that matched. You were mistaken. What you wanted was turkey red, third counter to the left." I mean, turkey red is what they use. My wife looked at me in surprise, and then I told her my troubles. "Well," said she, "this is much nicer looking than what I had. You've got so much of it that I don't have to use the other at all. I wish I had thought of turkey red before." "I wish, from the bottom of my heart, you had," said I.
A Piece of Red Calico was written by Frank Stockton. It was adapted by Shelley Gollist and produced by Lawan Davis. Your storyteller was Steve Ember. You can read and listen to other American stories on our website, voaspecialenglish.com. I'm Bob Doty.